Crufts, day one at the NEC in Birmingham from the studio window. Wow, what a sight. What a show this is. Bill Lambert, good to catch up with you. It's fabulous to sit here in the studio and look at all the people going past and everything, isn't it, Bill?
You're really part of it. We're right here in the centre of the show, seeing people walk past with their dogs, with all the paraphernalia that goes with them and all the stuff that they've probably bought here on the day. So, yes, we are really very much part of it here in the studio.
And it feels very busy.
It is. I always say it's very difficult to say how busy Crufts is because it seems to get busy year upon year. But the crowd, you can be at one part of the show where the crowd tends to swarm. So you just discover dogs area for a start. It's busy all day long. But other parts, as the various activities are taking part, people tend to swarm around those. But it does seem, I have to agree, I think it's as busy as it's ever been.
Absolutely. And it's a big site here, isn't it? I mean, we've got the arena plus halls, 1, 2, 3, 3A, 4 and 5. I mean, just how big an area is that, Bill?
Well, believe it or not, Steve, it's 25 acres.
25 acres?
When I say that to people, they say, it can't be that big. And I always say, wear a pair of comfy shoes, because if you want to get around and see everything, you're going to do a bit of walking.
Some amazing statistics to go with Crufts. We've got one already, 25 acres of floor space. How many dogs are here this year, Bill?
In total, around about 24,000. 19,000 of them compete for the Best in Show competition, but there's another 5,000 dogs taking part in all the other events, so the agility competitions, the flyball, heel work to music, all those other activities. And of course, we have display teams. We have the Golden Retriever display team, we have the West Midlands Police display team who are doing some activities in the main arena. So there's lots of other dogs here as well. So there's a big, big event.
And just at the back of Hall 3, where we are, of course, is Discover Dogs, the great place where you can spend a whole day just doing all of the dogs in there and playing with them, patting them and talking to the owners.
Discover Dogs is one of the most important things that we do. It's 30 years we've been running Discover Dogs now. It's our 30th year. And it is the opportunity that we give to people so they can go and actually look at all the breeds available, 222 different breeds. Most of them are represented here over the 4 days. And it gives people the opportunity to find out all about those dogs from the people who know, from the owners and breeders who all know about those breeds. Now, if you go past those booths, I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know what, if you don't want a dog that's going to chew your shoes or needs a lot of training, then you don't want one of these dogs. So often the experts are pointing out all the downsides to those particular breeds, because it's important that people understand the good, bad points as well as the good points.
You've got to make the right choice. You've got to make an informed choice, haven't you, Bill?
It is so important. You're going to invite a dog into your home. It's going to be there for the next 10, 15 years. So making that right choice is very important. You don't want to buy a dog that needs a lot of exercise if you haven't got the time to exercise it. Now, the fantastic thing about pedigree dogs is that of the 222 breeds, we know how big they're going to get, we know whether they're going to have a long or a short coat, we know even how much food they're like to eat in their lifetime. So we can give you all that information, all that data, so that there really is no excuse for making a wrong choice if you do that research.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned the numbers of dogs, and over the years there's been an increase in dogs coming from overseas to take part in Crufts. And is that on the increase?
It has indeed. Believe it or not, we have 3,776 overseas dogs here. So that's getting on for a quarter of the entry of dogs here, 20% of the dogs that are here. And that's what Crufts means. It is a big international competition. Everybody who breeds dogs throughout the world knows what about Crufts. It knows it is the most important show. And of course, they want to be part of it. And it's not just about winning. It's being part of the very best dogs competing against the very best, which is what we all want to do, of course.
The people from the UK who show have been telling me, you know, they got up at 4 o'clock this morning to bring the dog down. People from overseas, they've been perhaps travelling for days or even weeks across land to get here.
I remember a lady who did very well, a lady from Russia a few years ago, who did very well with a Scottish Terrier, and her friends were urging her to leave because they had a 5-day journey ahead of them to get home. So it is a huge commitment. And the overseas dogs are often very successful at Crufts, and the people often ask me why that is, and I say, well, you're not going to travel all that way unless you think your dog's got a chance. It's a really good example of the breed. So they come here often because they've got a really good chance of winning.
Talking of which, last year's Best in Show, I think, was a dog from overseas, the Legato Romanello.
It was from Croatia, indeed. Yeah. And yes, they had a very successful day. And they came to the show. I spoke to the owners after the show. And they had hopes of winning. And I think on the day, it was far their achievement exceeded far their expectations.
I wonder what it did for the breed. Because there's so many different breeds here. I've spoken to many people who... I was talking to somebody about the Australian Kelpie. And we had to explain what that was because there were people saying they'd never heard of it. So when a dog does so well at Croftsville, does the Kennel Club notice an upturn in popularity or inquiries, shall we say?
We do sometimes. When a Best in Show win, and I remember a few years ago we had a dog, a Wiesler, that won Best in Show at Crofts, and that certainly did make people's ears prick up about that breed. But we find now there's other influences that perhaps take precedence over even Crofts. And it's social media has huge influence on people's choices of dogs. And it's sometimes concerning that people will look at a dog, think it's cute, and then their favourite social media star may have one, and they want to actually emulate their heroes. And they'll go and buy a dog based on that. Now, it's easy to be critical because that's not the right way to go about buying a dog. But we do understand that people are taken in by what they see. But yeah, Crofts can play an important part in that. And if a dog does become best in show, and particularly last year's dog, which was a breed that we hadn't seen win before, and people, the man in the street hadn't seen them so much, certainly they pricked their ears up. So, this is an interesting dog. And hopefully went to find out more about it.
The flip side of that, Bill, is vulnerable breeds and those dogs that are on the at-watch list. Last year, I think, surprising everybody, was the Scottish Terrier. 406 or so births, which was a decrease. Is that something that lovers of the Scottish Terrier should be concerned about?
Yes, I think it is. And it's difficult to imagine that a dog as iconic as that, if your listeners aren't really aware, the Scottish Terrier is the Monopoly little dog on the Monopoly board. So it's that iconic. It's part of our life. And yes, they've gone down to those sort of numbers. Now, they're not quite what we call a vulnerable breed yet. They're on our rat watch list. We say a breed is vulnerable if the registrations dip below 300. But if they're on that way down, and it's the level of decline that we look at. I mean, last year, for example, the Rough Collie, Lassie dog, another hugely popular dog.
That shocked everybody, didn't it?
Indeed. So there are some of these breeds. And all we try to do is highlight them. It's really a matter of reminding people that these breeds exist. Because, again, of the 222 different breeds we have, we want to have that choice available. We want to have that variety across all breeds. Because if they disappear forever and we can't recreate them.
Absolutely. I guess Golden Retrievers and Labradors and the such like are still amongst the most popular breeds.
They are, and interestingly, of the 250,000 or so dogs we register each year, the vast majority appear in that top 10 breeds. They represent around about 60 or 70% of the total registration. So some breeds are bred in very small numbers, and some have been bred in small numbers for many years. But it's when they start to really decline we get worried and concerned about them.
I know in the past few years, Bill, the Kennel Club has had great success in tackling the issue of rogue breeders and puppy farms and buying online, which I think you and I discussed during or post-pandemic, didn't we? How's that campaign going? What difference has that made?
We're still seeing, unfortunately, the outcomes of the pandemic. I think a lot of people there was a huge demand for dogs during the pandemic. People wanted dogs, they were taking dogs that weren't necessarily the right type of dog for them, and now they're paying the price. And of course, we're seeing dogs now, we're sort of 2-3 years outside the other side of the pandemic, and people now are finding that they can't cope with those dogs. The dogs have not been trained, they didn't have access to trainers or behaviourists during that time, and so we're seeing an increase, unfortunately, in dogs that are being relinquished. So that it really is unfortunate, but it's something I think we're going to see that's going to start to decline over the next period, I think. And you know, but it, again, it comes down to people making those right choices.
Now, there's not just the dog showing and the agility, fly ball and all those other things. There's a good opportunity to go shopping here at Crossbow. You've just sighed, I know, because I've known you for a few years, Bill. You're a dog lover. You always take something home, don't you?
I do, but I sighed because there is so much here. I don't always get the chance to go round and buy the things that I want to buy. And I'll go past one of the... I'll be on the way somewhere and go past one of the stores. I must come back for that, and I go back and it's gone. So that's why I sigh. But no, you're absolutely right. There is so much. There's everything you can ever want for your dog in terms of dog food, grooming equipment, beds, leads, collars, everything you can imagine. But even the things that you need yourself, like Willington boots, coats to wear, even if you're not a dog lover, there are things that you could buy at Crofts.
Lots of coverage across the media, including live on television, of course. Each of the days is broken down to a different group. Today, Friday, Thursday, is utility and toy, gun dogs tomorrow, working and pastoral, terrier and hound. Some of those are obvious to people. I think a lot of people would know what a terrier and a hound was. But utility dogs, Bill, just explain what they are and their role.
So utility dogs, oddly enough, they're the breeds that don't actually fit into any the other groups. Most dogs were bred with a purpose, so there may be working dogs that were bred to do a certain role. There were, of course, the sheep dogs, what we call the pastoral dogs, that are there to herd sheep, etc. The utility dogs are often the dogs that didn't have an original purpose, or their original purpose has long since disappeared. And I'll give you an example. The bulldog was originally bred as a bull baiting dog. Now that purpose disappeared, you know, a couple of hundred years ago now, so the dog's purpose has gone. But it doesn't make it being a good pet. Bulldogs are lovely, loyal dogs, very friendly dogs, and people who love them would never have anything else. So it is important that people recognise the original purpose that their breeds had, because they will have some of those characteristics.
It's often interesting when you tell people that corgis were for herding cattle. You look at a huge, great, great beast of a cow and a small corgi. But, I mean, interesting working purpose.
They were indeed, and they were actually bred with a... A lot of these dogs are bred for the similar purposes, but slightly different. Now, the corgi was bred as a cattle dog, and they were bred to nip at the cattle's heels. So that's why they have short legs, just to run up behind the cattle and give them a little nip on the heel. Of course, that purpose has really disappeared now. We don't tend to herd cows in that way anymore. But those dogs, it's interesting that they were feisty dogs. Corgis tend to be quite feisty dogs. They're actually much more placid now, because the breeders have gone out of their way to breed dogs that can live in modern life, can have nice, calm, happy temperaments, and live with people as family dogs. So over the years, breeders can actually breed out the traits that they don't want and breed in the traits that they do want.
It all comes down eventually to Sunday evening, best in show in that fabulous main ring, thousands of people watching and millions watching on television. The journey for a breeder, somebody showing a dog here, is worth 4 days of input and activity, but a lot have gone on before that. How much leads up to that final point? 20,000+ dogs, it comes down to one on the Sunday evening.
So I try and go through it quite quickly how it happens. So first of all, so let's suppose you have an Australian Terrier. That Australian Terrier will go into classes against all the other Australian Terriers. And eventually you end up with one Australian Terrier. It's the best of breed Australian Terrier. That Australian Terrier then goes into the Terrier group. So it goes against the best Bull Terrier, the best Kerry Terrier, the best Airedale Terrier. And so that then becomes the best Terrier. And so the best Terrier competes against the best gun dog, against the best utility, etc. So you end up eventually with having just 7 dogs in the final competition at Crofts.
And it could be any of them. Any of the dogs here potentially could be best in show.
Absolutely. Everybody's got a chance. There's an old expression, every dog has its day. And it's that one dog that puts in that special performance, that catches the judge's eye, that has that little bit of star quality. And that's the dog that actually finally wins the best in show at Crofts.
Absolutely. Bill, a real pleasure as always to catch up with you. An exciting first day here at Crofts at the NEC. Plenty to come. Bill, many thanks.
You're very welcome.